I wonder if you have any stories of being in the company of greatness. That's my open question to you. I'd like you to turn to the people around you, and I'm going to give you 3 or 4 minutes, and I wonder if within this congregation there are stories of when you've encountered important people, inspiring people, being in the company of greatness. So a couple of minutes, turn to your neighbour and let's see what that comes to mind. If you're with your husband or your spouse, let's take it as a given that then you were in the company of greatness and then talk about other things, okay? So let's shout out a few names. Who are some of the great people that we have encountered? Or you're just having a chat. This is the test. Now we find out if you're actually doing this task. So.
Well, I was going to ask you a question, Steve. Who do you consider great?
Yeah.
What is greatness?
What is greatness? Joan was making the point at the back, it certainly isn't the same as fame.
No.
Brilliant. So, I'm going to pass that question back to you. Let's hear. I mean, who are the people that you would attribute greatness that you've met or encountered? Anyone? Yeah?
Lady named Doreen Fishing.
Doreen Fishing. And what's great?
She was involved in the garden. And because of her, we have wonderful campsites and the house for brownies in the mayor.
For the benefit of those who just listed here, she's a lady in the guide movement. You know, one of those people who makes stuff happen. A great lady. Anyone else?
Lambeth Palace, yeah. Rowan Williams, one of the archbishops.
Right.
to leave home of the previous Archbishop of Cambridge when he was made Archbishop, which was a fascinating time. And he was a great man.
So he was invited, it wasn't breaking our entry. And it's hard to believe. Even around. Okay. So that's what we're thinking about growth. And it's great that you engage with that subject and immediately in exploring, okay, define growth. What do you mean? Today we're going to be continuing our monthly dip into the subject. It's life-changing, the subject of prayer. And this month we're going to be thinking about the subject of encountering God in prayer. I hope that long ago we established that prayer is more than coming to God with our list of needs and wants or our worries. I hope we already know in our experience that prayer is about a relationship, about two-way communication, about being in the presence of God. So tomorrow we're thinking about encountering God in prayer. So we've heard a few stories about encountering greatness. Now alongside that, I wonder if you have special moments you've had where you just wished that time would stand still. And that you could stay in that moment forever. Maybe it's in the same circumstance, actually. We're talking about parents can be great, and maybe if you've lost your parents, maybe you look back and you think on a particular moment where you think, oh, if I can maybe relive that moment. Or maybe you've been on a holiday, and you've got to that proper state of relaxed, properly relaxed, and you just thought that thought, oh, if this could just last forever or at least another 3 weeks. Maybe there's a chapter in your life that you look back on where you think, that was a sweet spot. That was a great time. And I wish it had been longer. A time of joy, a time of fulfillment without complications. Possibly pre-children, I don't know. A time when you thought, if only I could just stay here. Maybe you're a musician, or an artist, or an engineer, or a computer programmer. Maybe you're an allotment owner, or a gardener, a writer, or a baker. And you have one of those moments of complete fulfillment and satisfaction. You've got a marrow the size of a small mini clubman. And you stood back and you've gone, this is the year. I wish every year was like this. Although that never applies to marriage, does it? You were working at something, creating something, and everything just seemed to drop into place. Maybe you're a teacher. And you have one of those terms where the young people are entirely cooperative and you just seem to be getting somewhere and you're like, ah, oh, if we could just stay in this moment. Maybe you're a train spotter or a twitcher or a sports fan and you fulfill a lifelong ambition or you go to a concert or a match and you just wish that you could stay there. Well, if you roll up all those experiences into one, that gives you a little taster of what's going on in our Bible passage today. So Peter, James and John, you've got it in front of you this week. They are in the company of greatness and they just don't want it to end. They are exhilarated and they're frightened, all in one. I guess the closest maybe we could picture it is we're sat on the mountainside and there's Lord Nelson and there's Winston Churchill, John Wesley pops in, William Shakespeare, he decides to come and do a few jottings, Martin Luther King, Mother Teresa and the Queen. And we're just sat there pinching ourselves. No wonder Peter is completely starstruck and blurts out, "Two pillars and shelters! Shall I make a tent? What are you doing, Peter?" He doesn't want it to end. He can't believe it. He can't believe that he, Peter, a nobody, a fisherman from Galilee, is in the company of greatness. He's with Moses, the man who saw God face to face, as we heard in our earlier reading, the father of his nation. And there he is before Peter. And joining in this incredible capture is the prophet Elijah, the greatest of all the prophets, someone so close to God that his death isn't recorded. The heavenly chariot that throws him away. And then there's a small matter of what is happening to his rabbi. His physical appearance has been transformed. There is a physical, manifest holiness about Jesus. You can see it. It's shining. It's still Jesus, but not as you've ever seen him before. So Peter blurts out the first thing that comes to mind. Should we put up some shelters? Should we set up camp? He's frightened, but he doesn't want this incredible moment to ever end. And then this incredible moment takes on a whole new level of sheer wonder and powerful encounter. Because who also is present? Who also is present? God is present. Not just Jesus, but the voice of the Father is audible. And the glory of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is revealed in a manifest display of purity, majesty, and holiness. Should we put some shelters up? Fair play to Peter, that's what I would say. I wonder if in your journey of following Jesus, you've had precious, powerful moments where you've experienced Jesus speaking to you. It might not be an audible voice, but in your heart you felt an electrifying sense of personal conviction. You felt a love that just overwhelmed, a peace that just defied all circumstances, a joy that came from nowhere. You were desperate, you reached out to God, and his joy just flowed into your heart, unmistakably, an encounter with God. I wonder if you've had a sense of clarity, a sense of purpose and direction that you just know came from God. You came to God in prayer, completely confused about what to do, where to go. And God spoke into your heart, and with a clarity that you just knew with him, suddenly you knew what to do. Suddenly you knew what God was saying. I wonder if you can remember the electrifying feeling of the forgiveness and the love that you felt when you first gave your life to Jesus. Or maybe when you experienced some gift of the Holy Spirit for the first time. I wonder what your expectations are when you connect with God in prayer. Do you expect powerful encounter and revelation? Or maybe we'd love to, but we're too nervous to raise our expectations. We don't want to feel like we're lining ourselves up for a fall. So expect less. In the Old Testament, when Moses used to go up the mountain to spend time with God or enter into the Holy of Holies, we heard that he came out literally glowing. But the glow faded. And this so troubled the Israelites that he wore a veil. Isn't that a bit troubling? That they would rather not see the glow of an encounter with the living God than have it fade. They didn't want to see it fade, so they didn't want to see the glory. I can completely understand it, but when you think about it, isn't that that's sad? Can we be like that? We'd rather not expect it than fear disappointment. We'd rather go into prayer cautious, low expectations, because then we're safe. Was there an element in Peter's reaction of this? Let's put up some shelters. We need to capture this moment because it's never going to happen again. Do you? Do we have an expectation that when we make time for prayer, that we will powerfully encounter God? Do we actually expect that he will speak to us? That we will experience his presence by the activity of his Holy Spirit? Is that our expectation of prayer? Is that our expectation of the church prayer meeting? We've got to be there because we can encounter God. Is that our expectation of whenever we pray? That we're going into an encounter with God? Or is it, we're going to do the prayer, we're going to get it done, job done? We should expect to encounter greatness when we pray. Why? Because of what the Father says of Jesus here. What does the Father say? He says to Jesus, "This is my Son whom I love. Listen to him." And what did Jesus say? He said, when you are praying, approach it as if you were talking to your dad. Expect relationship. Expect connection. No one talks to their dad with the expectation, I'm going to talk at you for ages, you will remain mute, and we'll consider that relationship. Jesus told the disciples to wait for the Holy Spirit, and he told them that the Holy Spirit would directly speak and direct them. In John 16, he says this, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will speak on his own initiative. For he will not speak on his own initiative. But whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. In prayer, Jesus taught us that our expectation should be that God will speak to us. That if we came to him with a care or worry, that God would speak into that. That if we come to him with someone's circumstance or needs, that God would speak into that. We're in the new covenant, not the old. Because of Jesus making a way for us to be forgiven and holy, our encounters with God don't need to be collective items. That's not the new covenant. That's not the relationship that Jesus offers. They're not just for the spiritual elite. Peter was so excited because Moses was a collector's item. He's encountered God. He hangs out with God. He talks to him freely. Wow! In the new covenant, that's all of us. All of us, Jesus We are the body of Christ. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And we don't need to worry about the glory fading. We don't need to think, well, I had some amazing God moments, but they're gone. We don't need to live in the past of some glorious moments or some particular things. Almost we pull out the drawer to go, God speaks. But now, in the here and now, in the everyday, in the mundane patterns of our lives, daily, minute by minute if we wish, the limiting factor is that we can encounter God with prayer. We don't need to be like Peter. And actually, Peter himself learned that he didn't need to say, should we stick the shelter up? Should we capture this moment? Should we try and hold on to this moment? Because it's never going to happen again. Peter learned. And he taught us that encountering God was for the present, not just the past. So here's my encouragement to us today. When we pray, let's expect to encounter God. That's what prayer is. That's what we're supposed to do. Jesus came to radically transform our lives. Not to give us a few holy moments to sort of cling to, but to daily know his presence. In prayer, to know his company. To live our lives in the company of greatness. To expect revelation. To expect him to speak into the everyday details of our lives, the big and the small.